Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pep Talk, your get up and go fix of the day. Sharky Zartman here, and I'm excited to have Patsy McCandless back on the show. And she's an educator, artist, musician, speaker, wife, mother, and grandmother. And she is also the author of the novel, Becoming Jessie, Celebrating the Everyday Magic of Childhood. Her 30 years as a primary school teacher helped to infuse all of her work with the joys of childhood. And today she will show us how to keep this magic burning bright throughout our lifetime. So welcome, Patsy.
Hello there, Sharky. It's so great to be with you again.
Yes, yes. Well, I just, you know, we need some positivity in our lives these days. You know, I mean, sometimes I wish I could just go back and just be a little kid and just have fun, you know. But, yeah, so you're going to help us do that today. So first,
that's what I'm all about.
Okay. So. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, especially what led you to begin your creative writing.
Okay. Well, first thing I'd like to say, I love your podcast and your books, especially Winning at Aging. And I kind of am a pretty good model for all the teachings that you share, especially in, I love that book, Winning at Aging. And I kind of feel like my life has just been filled with winnings. And I just feel like, especially recently when I had my birthday, I received two announcements. And one was that my paper art won first place in an international show of miniature art that's like teeny tiny, 2 by 4 inches in Washington, D.C. And so that was exciting. And then my third Jessie book was published that very day. So I just feel like life is good.
Well, great, great. And, you know, your all of your teaching over 30 years, you know, as a primary school teacher, what grade did you teach?
I actually taught first grade for a little while, and then I went into second grade. I graduated in second grade.
Okay.
And yeah, I just feel like those years, 30 years of working with children, it's really quite an amazing thing. And one of the things that I just loved about teaching was being able to take my knowledge and what I was working with in the classroom and helping the kids and reading to them. I discovered reading out loud to children is one of the great joys and great gifts for adults and children. And so it wasn't too hard when in my later years in teaching, I was given a gift to go to a Benedictine monastery for a week-long writing workshop with Madeline Langle, and she wrote the Newbery Book Award winner, A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I have not stopped writing since. The other thing that I just want to mention this because I think it's so much fun. My great-great-grandmother is named Margareta Grimm, and we have this family lore that has always suggested that she was related to the brothers Grimm. And I just feel, wow, that's a pretty fairy tale of a place to be for an author. So publishing my books, I always kind of wonder if she's up there, you know, pulling some strings for me.
Oh, that's really cool. That is really, really cool. Yeah. I love that. I love that. And so this is a series, Becoming Jessie. And in it's the genre of children's literature. And so this is basically for children, or is it for adults too?
Well, you know, I was actually a history major in college, and I just love history. And I love reading ancient history because I always find it so fascinating that so many of the things that we believe today, they knew them, you know, centuries ago. So I was looking at some of the writings by Aristotle, and he was talking about children, And I thought, oh, really? Aristotle knows about children. This is amazing. And he wrote that children imitate everything. And it's how the mind grows. And so I thought, this is just a perfect segue for my writings and my books, because I want my books to be wholesome, classic literature. And I know that my Becoming Jessie series, every single one of the books, the stories and the characters are just so wonderful, and they're so easy to imitate. And I have realized what a wonderful gift this is to the world, because Jessie's stories really prepare children's minds to revel in moral truth and goodness. You know, sometimes I feel a little old-fashioned saying those things, but I know Aristotle also wrote that character is being formed. And the name of my book is Becoming Jessie.
Right, right.
So day by day, moment by moment, in children, and I believe in all of us, all these qualities, our virtues, are becoming. And so that's really what my books are definitely doing, because I'm hearing people, especially grown-ups, that just love reading these books out loud to the children. And so it ignites the light in the children, and it ignites the light within grown-ups, too. It's pretty exciting.
Well, what do you mean by the light?
Oh, you know, I'm often asked about that. What I mean by the light and how it works, I like to say that you are born with magic, and we all are, and it is our light. Now, some people like to call it the divine light of our souls, and I love that. I think it's always present, and I think it's always waiting for us to welcome it in. Most people, I would say, agree with the idea that light is when they see a child or even a grown-up, you know, when they've got those sparkling eyes and that radiant smile. And I believe that people really do know their own light when they're feeling curious or things feel awesome or they are really in a wonder about something. So I like to say that my books are a light in the darkness. And unfortunately, I think the darkness has become all too familiar for us. So I want my Jessie to go out and spread his light and rekindle that light for us to get us to laugh and love and thrive again, you know?
Right.
I think, we need that inspiration.
Right. So this, what age group, you know, if a parent is looking for a book to read, age group?
It's really just perfect for 9 to 12-year-olds to read by themselves.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, my second book won one of the awards from the Wishing Shelf Awards in the UK, and it's my favorite award because the judges are all children between 9 and 12.
Oh,
so they actually read the book, and they just loved it. And then I sent my most recent one there, and the reviewer from the Wishing Shelf Book Awards gave it 5 stars and such a beautiful review. I was just in tears. Oh, these words are so beautiful about my own little Jessie.
Oh, great. So the kids can read. So I'm going to get 2 books. I have 2 grandkids. One is 10 and one is 8. And so,
okay.
Yeah. I was wondering what age. And so younger age, the parents read to them, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I do have several people, especially just read the third book. And I got these emails from parents, and their kids are, one was 13 and one was 15. And she said, I read to them and they just loved it. So I was really surprised and very happy to hear that too. But I really think 9 to 12, around that age, or, you know, good, good readers can, they can handle these books easily. So, yeah.
Okay. So, I also have a four-year-old grandson. Would this be something that he could concentrate on? Because all he wants to read about is dinosaurs.
Yeah, I would leave him to his dinosaurs at this point. But I will say, when I was teaching second grade, we always did a dinosaur unit. And what I noticed is they absolutely loved to say those long Diplodocus and Tyrannosaurus Rex. I realized children just love language. So I put a lot of that kind of thing in my Jesse stories. So again, it might be okay if the child is a very perceptive child, but I would wait and let him have his fun with his dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah. He knows all the scientific names for all the dinosaurs. I can't even believe it.
They really are a wonder.
Right. Well, tell us one of your stories that is one of your favorite stories to share from your latest Jesse book.
Which one of the stories? Because he has all these adventures. But I have to say, I think some of the light lessons that Jesse has are really amazing. And a lot of people call them, you know, his magic or little miracles. And they're woven throughout the story. They happen all the time to him. So this particular story, it begins with his grandmother being really angry. And she's taking out her frustrations on Jesse. And he runs away to this beach down the hill from where they live, because they live on an island. And there's a boathouse there, but there's no key to get in. And he's just crying and bawling and feeling lonely and lost. But he has this token from his other grandmother, his beloved dearie. And she died over a year ago at Christmas. But the token is her pure white stone. He's just rolling this white stone around in his fingers. And he's suddenly a calmness comes over him. And he starts spilling out his troubles and his questions to his dearie. And as he breathes, this calmness and a new determination comes over him. And so he finds a way into the boathouse. And then, really surprisingly, oh dear, I think this is a spoiler alert. I'll just say that something really unexpected and rather astonishing happens for Jesse in the boathouse. And it's just so much fun.
Okay, so it's always the same character, Jesse, that's in your book,
Jesse,
right?
Yeah, he's always there, but the first book, he's in New York City, and he's quite young. He's only six.
Okay.
Everything that happens there happens around his beautiful, beloved grandmother, Dearie. He was born an orphan because his dad had died before, and his mom dies in childbirth. So he's brought up by this beautiful grandmother, Dearie, and she has her own theater in New York. And so that's filled with lots of fun and adventures there. But then he finds out about his other grandmother. He calls her his disappeared grandmother. And there are all these puzzles and mysteries. And he goes to find her in the second book.
Okay.
And then in the third book, he's had this great year with his grandmother. He calls her Gemma. But suddenly, Jesse finds out, you know, life can be bleak, and a hurricane has come and destroyed the farm, and there's no money, and, you know, not much to eat, and Jesse doesn't give up his light, but his grandmother is having a terrible, terrible time. And so the third book is really about how Jesse's light is going to help his very troubled grandmother, and he still has lots of adventures and escapades, but it's still a lot of fun.
Okay. I want to ask, with all the your 30 years of education, I'm sure you taught a lot of these lessons in your classes, right?
Mm-hmm. I did. It was really wonderful because I would make time for the children. If something happened and the child was upset, we would gather in our circle and we would use the upset as a teaching time. And they became what I call my light lessons in all three books. you know, just to learn, for a child to learn how to breathe through an upset, and then how to pivot away from the dark upset and into the light. And sometimes we would actually all get up and go over to the windows. I taught them how to make what I call a bliss list. And so when somebody's bothering you or challenging you, you stop and you think of at least one good thing that you can say about that person. And it really does help to, it's kind of like law of attraction. It just helps bring on more of the good things. Mm-hmm. And the last one that I really love teaching the kids, what I call it, the remarkable gates, that your words have to pass through these three gates. And the first one is, are your words kind?
Mm-hmm.
The second, are your words true? And the third one, are your words necessary? So the kids could usually get through the first two, but that third one, yeah, I didn't really need to say that, you know. So,
right.
And then the last one that I always taught was called my rule of tongue, and that is to always let the words on your tongue taste delicious, because they might come back to bite you. So those are some of the lessons that I taught. I actually taught in all in my books.
I think you need to write a book for adults with those.
You know, I get these great emails from grandparents, and they, you know, I had this one email, and this lady is saying, you know, I've been having trouble with my son, not her grown-up son, not her grandchildren, but her son, and she said, I made a bliss list for my son, and things just turned around, and now I'm not paying attention to the crud that was bothering me about him. And so I thought, really? I mean, this is really a big bonus. So I was very happy to get that email.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, we're going to take a short break, Patsy.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about your book and some of the lessons and maybe another story. And I just really think that this is, you know, things that adults need to hear too, because we're so, you know, surrounded by things that take away our light. And so,
yes.
Okay,
yes,
we'll be back.
So,
yeah.
Okay, see you in a few minutes.
Okay, we'll be back with more Pep Talk and Patsy. Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm Sharky Zartman here with Patsy McCandless, and we have been talking about her new book, or third edition of her wonderful book, Becoming Jessie, Celebrating the Everyday Magic of Childhood. So welcome back, Patsy.
Thank you.
Well, we were just
It's been fun talking with you. I feel like it's so exciting.
Thank you. You know, I was thinking about when you were talking about the light lessons, especially the ones about, you know, the three things before you speak. I love that. And you were saying that kids 9 to 12, you know, can read it by themselves. And like I said, I have kids in that age range, but I teach at the community college level. And I think a lot of my students have never learned these lessons before, you know. So, you know, it's just really sad. It's just really sad.
Yeah.
But do you think you can get into that age group and help them as well?
Well, gee, everything's possible.
Yes.
Yeah, you know. It's really interesting to me because you can't tell the kids, you can't preach at them, you can't be didactic or coercive. But one of the things that I really believe is that books, especially the classic books that have all the wonderful, virtuous kind of stories in them, this is a way to get to everyone. Now, I have to say, I don't watch television. But I know that there are movies that are really wonderful for children. The best ones are movies that have been taken from beautiful books. I'm having a little trouble, I will admit, with the books that are out there today.
Uh-huh.
I feel like they're giving kids the wrong message. Like, no, it's not okay. Your thoughts are powerful. Your words are powerful. Pay attention to the goodness of your words. And so I just keep thinking, isn't there a way to get kids to watch more of, because I know they're on their devices all the time, and I'd like to talk about that in a little while, but it's just so amazing to me that college kids don't have a foundation. And I think part of the foundation that they are missing, as an author, I'm saying this, they don't have the classics under their belt. They don't know the really beautiful stories, Anne of Green Gables, or Pollyanna, or Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, Robert Louis Stevenson's works. They look at me and go, who's that? Yeah. I was speaking at a library once, and this she was a freshman in college, and she kind of said, I don't know who you're talking about. I said, oh, well,
yeah.
We're in the library. Come with me. but we have to find the way in, and I think it might be through their devices. Maybe I'll just start making little one-minute videos of Jesse's lessons, you know, just doing a little reading. Because I do pictures. I do my own illustrations.
You do your own. That's very cool.
Yeah, the book is filled with illustrations.
Good.
Not the first book so much, but the second and third book, I put an illustration in each chapter so that people would know what I'm talking about. I know this sounds weird, but this one girl did not know what a telephone was.
Okay, yeah.
And I said, okay, so I drew a picture of what an old-fashioned telephone is, and I explained how, you know, when I had a telephone when I was growing up, you didn't just dial, you picked it up and you got an operator, and she talked to you.
No,
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, I just, since I'm an educator as well, and I teach at the community college level, I think a lot of our kids missed out, you know, actually being a kid when they were growing up.
I can't agree more. We have 5 beautiful grandchildren, and I'm very careful with tech devices, and I'm not really good at it either, so, you know, but I just feel like, get off the, oh, I know, one of my authors who read my first book, she wrote a great little review, and all she said was, put down your cell phone, turn off the TV, and open this book. You will return to the magic of your childhood. And I think that's true. But I have to say, they are on their devices. Maybe there's a way that we can reach them through their devices,
right,
through whatever platform they're on.
Right, you know, I mean, because like you said, I mean, kids these days are learning so much about technology that some of us have to ask our kids and grandkids how to help us with our computers.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, well, my 4-year-old grandson, it was on my phone and we were looking at it. And I go, well, let me see if I can find this. And he scrolled to it and found it. He's 4.
Yes.
How stupid did I feel?
Yes. I've heard people say, you know, it's like they're born, they come in wired to these, or no, actually they come in with a Bluetooth, you know, so they don't even need the wire. You know, but they know, they just have this instinctive knowledge of how this all works.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it's because they're not afraid of it. You know, whereas, I don't want to make a mess.
Right. Well, it's not, that's, they're growing up with it, and it was new for us. You know, I just don't want it to take away their joy of childhood because, you know, some of the kids are just too invested in all these computer games, and a lot of them are somewhat violent. I mean, that I've seen.
I'm with you on that. But can you imagine what's happening to their brains? And later, maybe in our last segment, I'd like to talk a little bit more directly about technology because I think it is the most amazing, and it is so wonderfully useful. But it is also, it's got that other side, the knife that you pick up by the blade. You know, you really have to be careful with this.
Right.
And so I think that our children have big holes in them that they don't even know what's not there. And actually, there's a great quote by Diana Vreeland, who was the iconic fashion designer for Vogue magazine. And she said, you know, what you need to do is give them what they never knew they wanted. And so that's kind of what I've been trying to do with my Jesse books. Like, they might not know that that's what they're looking for. They're looking for their magic. They're looking for their light, that beautiful innocence of childhood. And they don't even know it's missing, that they've got a big hole in them, you know?
Right.
And so that's what I'm trying to do with my Jesse books.
Awesome.
And then they don't even know it, you know?
Awesome. You know, we have to take another short break, you know.
Okay.
But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about kids today and how they're different in the past. Yeah, and what we can do about that, all right?
Okie-doke.
We'll
great.
Be back with more Pep Talk and Patsy McCandless right after this.
Now you can win at aging with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Win at Aging. Read the book. Connect with your inner athletes. Make a game plan. Discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Win at Aging by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit sharkyzartman.com.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm Sharky Zartman here with Patsy McCandless, and we have been talking about her amazing book, Becoming Jessie, Celebrating the Everyday Magic of Childhood. And we've been talking about her lessons of light, her stories, and age groups, you know, that the book is best for. And, you know, we're gonna talk about kids today and challenges that they have in finding their magic. So welcome back, Patsy. And so
thank you.
What are we gonna do about this?
Well, kids today are very different from the past. And I know, you know, people look for answers. Is it parenting? Is it society? Is it technology? And I usually, sadly, say it's all of the above.
Right.
And I'm not blaming parents. I think most are trying their best to raise their children well, and I think they really need encouragement. But the thing is, our society has changed so much. Everything's faster.
Right.
And unfortunately, unsavory themes and topics that used to be the realm of, say, college-age students have trickled down to high school and then further down to our beautiful, innocent young children. And it feels like life just, it just swirls up with challenge after challenge. And I have to say that I think that tech devices fit this profile. And I know I already said, I know technology is so amazing and it's so useful. And actually, that's how I wrote my books. I did it on the computer. So I can't slam technology.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it is everywhere. And the devices are created, and the programs, they're created to be addictive because they want the user to keep going. And the truth is that too much of these devices adversely affects brain development in our children. The mm-hmm. whole prefrontal cortex that does all our thinking and communicating, it's our source of empathy. And, you know, you wonder about why bullying is always such a big topic. It's because when you're on a device, your limbic brain is being activated. And the limbic brain is your emotional brain. And that's where the chemical called dopamine mm-hmm. is deposited. When your limbic brain is on, your prefrontal cortex is not on. So it's not developing. Now think about this. Our kids are using devices, and they're using them all day in school now. They're on their devices all the time. So there's already been some research They used to say that the prefrontal cortex didn't develop till you were 25 years old. Well, they're saying it's getting a little bit longer now mm-hmm. because it's not developing. And what happened is that, okay, the kids are on the device, and they come off, and they've got this glazed look, and they are really having difficulty trying to return to the real world. It's harder for them to focus. They have a harder time listening. They can't communicate intelligently. That's bad. But emotionally, parents are dealing with their children as they devolve. They isolate themselves. They're bored. They're anxious. They're quite self-absorbed, and selfishness takes a part in that. And they don't really see the real world anymore. They want their quick TikTok, the fix, and that kind of thing.
Right, quick fix.
So this is what we're faced with. And so that's why I think that little quote that I had from the author who wrote, put down your cell phone, turn off your television, it's really important for parents to try to get one-to-one personal FaceTime touching their child. Mm-hmm. And it's imperative. So that's one of the reasons that I placed Jesse in the 1950s, so that parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and the whole family can see there is no technology in those stories,
right.
Not like we have now.
Right.
So Jesse has the time and the opportunities to lead an inspired life. And it builds his moral imagination, which is his character. And parents can actually see through my stories this wonderful interactive life that he has with people of every age, kids and adults and grandparents. So that's really my biggest thing about Jesse. That's why I want Jesse to go out into the world and light up the world, because here's an alternative. I also have been keeping a weekly blog, and I wrote a really neat one the research was fascinating. This is what technology on a device does to your brain. This is what reading does to your brain. And it was like night and day, dark and light. I really think that reading, whether you're reading for yourself as a child or being read to, but that being read to is part of the magic.
Right. Because it's shared. Time. Yeah, it's shared. Yeah. And something the parents do with the kids. And,
So, and in addition, I also wanted to mention that Jesse's books are just full of thoughtful choices. He has to make choices in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often filled with lots of challenges. And I've received lots and lots of things. I just received another email from a younger parent, and her kids are 7 and 9. And she said, this is going to be my guide for helping to bring up my children, because Jesse, I get to discuss things. You know, like I read Jesse's story to the kids, and we say, oh, well, what do you think Jesse's going to do? And now they're getting the idea, Jesse's going to try to choose to be calm, not mad and angry. Jesse's going to try to help that child or help his grandmother. And Jesse knows how to be quiet when he needs to be. So I just feel like the light in me gets brighter when I get emails like that.
Yes.
From parents. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're doing an amazing thing with your books, you know. I mean, so powerful and so needed for the kids of today. And so,
Thank you. Now, tell us
where we can get your books and what your website is, please.
Okay, so my books are on Amazon. And the best thing to do, you know how you have to go on Amazon and you scroll down to books.
Right.
But just put in my name, Patsy McCandless.
Okay.
And then all three books come up.
Okay.
So the only trick is I spell my name PATSIE, not with a Y.
Oh, okay.
I'm not Patsy Cline.
Right.
And so you can get to my website. And the cool thing is on my website, I have book guides. So parents and teachers and librarians can go in there. And I'm giving teachers and parents a curriculum. And so you can look up all the funny and fun words. You can look up his light lessons. I do chapter by chapter discussions. And the new book is called No Wonder, but it's spelled K-N-O-W.
Okay. Oh, neat. I love that.
Yes.
Well, we're just about out of time. So, thanks for joining
us. That's so much fun.
You're so much fun. The name of your website again is what?
PatsyMcCandless.com.
Okay.
Or you can go to becomingjessie.com.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks again for joining us and bringing some joy to our lives. Trust me, we needed that.
So much,
Sharky.
It's been a delight.
Okay. We'll be back with more pep talk and Shark to Heart right after this.
Well, the secret, now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
We are back with more pep talk, and it is time for Shark to Heart. And here we go, November. Seems to be the start of the holidays. Every store I go to now is set up for Christmas. I mean, the Thanksgiving things are already gone, so I'm gone. But before we start thinking about the holidays, you know, we have November, which is also a time for Thanksgiving and gratitude, which really is sorely needed in today's society. And as we know, the media, unfortunately, is full of what's wrong. And while we cannot ignore what's going on, we can balance out our lives with infusing gratitude and being aware of what's positive in our world. And so I always share this little parable with my students before Thanksgiving. And I've shared it before on the show, and I've had some nice feedback, so I wanted to read it again today. It's short, but I think it's really cool. And so here we go. Once times were tough, two men, both poor farmers, were walking down a country lane and met their rabbi. "How is it for you?" the rabbi asked the first man. "Lousy," he grumbled, bemoaning his lot and lack. "Terrible, hard, awful, not worth getting out of bed for. Life is lousy." Now, God was eavesdropping on this conversation. "Lousy?" the Almighty thought. "You think your life is lousy now, you ungrateful lout? I'll show you what lousy is." Ooh. Then the rabbi turned to the second man. "And you, my friend?" "Ah, rabbi, life is good. God is so gracious, so generous. Each morning when I awaken, I'm so grateful for the gift of another day. For I know, rain or shine, it will unfold in wonder and blessings too bountiful to count. Life is so good." Now God smiled as the second man's thanksgiving soared upwards until it became one with the harmony of the heavenly hosts. And then the Almighty roared with delighted laughter, "Good? You think your life is good now? I'll show you what good is." And when I finish that, my students start laughing. They just think it's, you know, just really cool and kind of funny. But and then I talk to them about a little bit about some of the things that they can learn. That I tell them, "Haven't you noticed that people who complain a lot always seem to have more to complain about?" And they usually go, "Yeah, it's like they have a cloud following them around that rains slime on them." And I had one student who used to always come into my yoga class, and if I say, "Hi, how are you today?" she would just unload everything that was wrong with her life, and I just started, you know, not even wanting to say hello to her anymore. I didn't want her to come up and talk to me. And finally, one day when she was doing that, I said something that sounded really harsh, but it stopped her. I said, "Maybe if you stop complaining about everything in your life, it'll change. It'll go away if you stop complaining. And she just looked at me and just kind of put her head down, and it didn't really come up and complain anymore. And so anyway, if you have people that do this, I don't suggest that you say that to them, but there's another thing that you can say that I found to be a little bit more helpful, a little kinder. So when one of these people who I know is just going to dump on me everything that's wrong, instead of saying, "How are you today?" Okay, or "What's going on?" You know, I'll say, "What's new and good?" And then it's like they kind of freeze because they were ready to tell you everything that was wrong, and you just let them know you just want to hear what's good. And so, and when you think about it, there are a lot of things in life that we can be grateful for. You know, I mean, for the first thing is your health. There are so many people who would give anything to just be healthy. And sometimes no amount of money can do that for them. So if you have your health, you have a lot, and you should be very grateful for that. Now, I teach seniors senior yoga, and I always tell them, you guys are the lucky ones. You're able to come and you're able to participate in this class. You should be grateful for that. And so that's really true. Our health is huge and something we should never take for granted, because if you lose it, you're going to want it back. That's for sure. And another thing is just the warmth, the security of your home. There's a lot of people out there that don't have that. And we're seeing that more and more with the homeless population growing. And here in Los Angeles, it's a huge problem. And so if we have our own home, we have food, I mean, that's something that we should never take for granted. And also friends and family that perk you up, support and make you laugh. Those people we should never take for granted, because they are such an important part of our life, and we should really appreciate them. And another thing, you have nature around you. I mean, sometimes when I go outside and just go down by the ocean, I'm just overwhelmed with just how gorgeous it is to be by the ocean, to watch the birds, to watch the sunsets. And if you don't have the ocean around you, you might have parks, have areas that have a lot of nature, because nature just is really, really healing. And even the kindness of strangers. I never expect people to be kind because I'm around a lot of people, and it seems like everybody's got, you know, some people are just look miserable, or people won't even look you in the eyes and smile. But every once in a while, somebody does something really kind out of nowhere, and it's just really neat. So yeah, there are still people out there like that, and we should probably be one of them. And so I do have a assignment I give my students. It's called Look for the Good and Kindness. And so one day they have to look for the good things in their life and write it down. They have to have at least 5 things that they notice. And then they have to also do 5 unsolicited acts of kindness. And at first they think it's really stupid. What are we doing this for? But then after they do it and turn it in, I'll tell you, some people just were changed by doing that assignment, just looking for the good and being kind when people don't expect it. Yeah, it's something that we can all do each and every day. And a while back, I received a bracelet from a friend of mine that I actually had on a show a long time ago. And it's a constant reminder for me to be aware of the things in my life that are good. It says SG4. And so it has a little thing on a little rock that says that, which is short for so grateful for. And it really helps me change my perspective and my mood when I get overwhelmed with challenges and negativity. Anyway, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
HealthyLife.net. You can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books or even an ebook. DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Pep Talk and to my wonderful guest, Patsy McCandless. Until next time, I'm Sharky Zartman, and here's to your inner shark.